Hello and welcome back to We're Drunk and We Know Things Christmas Edition, Part 2. Last time we did top 10 Christmas movies, there was rapturous applause from the audience. So we're following it up with another big hitter. Another big hitter. This is our top 10 Christmas songs. Fireworks.
That's what I do. I drink. And I know things.
So, top 10 Christmas songs.
All right.
Cool.
So we did the same approach for this as we did for the movies.
Yes.
We each compiled our own top 10 list.
Yeah.
And then we just smushed it together so that I picked all the ones I liked.
Yeah. Otherwise it would be 3 hours long, and who wants that? So.
We're kicking off.
Traditionally,
we're number 10.
The
arse end of the Christmas barrel.
Both the, as previously stated, both the highest and the lowest.
It's both the biggest and the worst.
Yes.
In this list.
But it's the worst, but of the best.
Sure.
Because it's not the worst. Because it's
favourites. That would be like number 372,000.
Exactly. This is the worst of the best. It's number 10.
Anyway, this is a pick from our producer.
Hello.
And I'm not going to lie, I was a little surprised.
Yeah.
Well,
hang on, what's the song?
It is Wham's Last Christmas. And I took the same approach to this list as I did the movies one.
Well, you got drunk and just hit it.
Yes.
You just Googled 10 Christmas songs.
I won't lie to you, that might have happened. And then there was some editing done.
Yeah, sure.
But I then was like, actually, I don't like most Christmas songs.
No, fair.
But I'm aware of all Christmas songs.
There is a lot of shit.
And if I'm a certain level of drunk and a song comes on, I will know the words.
Sure.
This is one of them.
So you're singing it for us now?
Good reasoning.
Not with the amount you pay me, no.
Okay, fine.
You get DMC8. Get DMC8.
Wham's Last Christmas.
Wham's Last Christmas.
Wham, the famous British duo. Mm-hmm.
1984?
Yeah.
Oh, really? So, came out in 1984?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and then again in 1985. And then again in 1987.
Yeah, exactly.
And then again in 1983. Three times in 2002 for some reason.
Right.
It has been re-released consistently almost every year.
It's the
year.
Only thing that's keeping Andrew Ridgeley in race cars. He's a race car driver now.
Okay, I thought that was just a saying.
Yeah, he's a race car driver now.
Quite a good saying.
Or is that Alfonso Ribeiro? Or is it both? It might be both.
Could be both.
Might be. Oh, I'd watch that race team.
Anyway.
It did. On its original release. Don't know if you know this.
I have zero facts in front of me. So
okay,
go
good. Glad that we prepped for this ahead of time.
Yeah.
Right, so fortunately, I did. It spent five consecutive weeks at number one.
Right.
No, I lie. At number two.
All right.
Somewhat ironically, it was held off the top spot by Band-Aid and Do They Know It's Christmas Time.
Is George Michael in there?
I think he might be. Anyway, didn't check.
Right.
But I do like the idea that Wham, great musically.
Yeah.
Crap at business. They literally released their Christmas single against the biggest Christmas single ever.
Which they must have known about, yeah.
Which also does not feature again in our listings, but might come up in honorable mentions, but still.
I don't like either of those songs.
It eventually made it to number one in the UK singles chart last year.
Really?
2021.
Yep. Right. At Christmas or?
New Year's Day.
Oh, right, all right.
So close enough for jazz.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And, yeah.
There you go.
So they donated all their profits for the royalties to
each other?
To Christmas.
No, to the Ethiopian family.
To Christmas.
So it was around the same time where if you were going to do a Christmas song, it was to raise money.
Right.
Well, it literally, I've just said, just went head to head with Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Did it make as much money as Band-Aid?
Probably more.
Yeah, they probably managed to donate.
It's true. More jean jackets. Yeah. Definitely.
Well, less people to pay. So anyway.
They're long-lived. They're hard-wearing.
It's just one of those songs. It's not offensive. You know the words. It comes out at Christmas.
Yeah, it's the one that goes, "Wouldn't it be nice if I could have a Christmas?" That's the one, right?
Smooth.
Yeah.
It's only the only thing that I have any problem with at all with this is, given when it was released, given when it was recorded, given the situation that George Michael was in, it's very much, and I appreciate that there's loads of examples of this, but it's a song sung to a woman about how much he loves her by a very gay man.
Yeah. Oh, you mean every George Michael song that he wrote before?
Yeah.
It was before he came out. Yeah. Yeah. I love when you watch the video or when you watch him like on Top of the Pops from back in the day. It's like Liberace.
Yeah.
Can't believe it. Like in Austin Powers, he says that, doesn't he? Can't believe he was gay. Women loved him. You watch him on Top of the Pops now and you're like, yeah, no shit, dude. Anyway.
The video for this is actually not bad. There is a ski chalet.
Yeah.
And they arrive in like a Jeep Wrangler. And there's a snowball fight at some point.
Oh.
And a lot of side eye from a blonde bit, who George Michael, as we now know,
a blonde bit?
Is not interested in.
No, indeed.
Blonde piece.
So he's actually probably, the song's the other way around, right? Last Christmas, she gave him her heart, and the very next day, he had anonymous sex with another gentleman. That's not offensive, right? That's not offensive, right?
Anyway, but it was skirting
it's got the
a
feeling.
Line.
It's got the feel. It's got the feel of offensive, but I don't know that it is. Let's move on.
In at number 9.
The one thing I would say is that Wham led rise to one of two Christmas song games.
Yep.
Hashtag Whamageddon.
Whamageddon, yes, indeed.
Where from the 1st of December, you have to attempt to avoid listening to the song that we've just played in the background of this. So if you listen to this podcast, you've just lost Whamageddon.
Oh, they're going
to
lose everything, aren't they?
Maybe.
All the games. But I won't because I never listen to our podcast.
And you don't play.
And I don't play. Anyway, right, let's move on.
We've got in number 9.
In at number 9.
Numero nino. That's not how it works.
Definitely not how it works.
First pick for you.
First pick for me. And that is, of course, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
By Shatner?
Anyway, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. We've got it down by Bing Crosby.
There's no we here.
I put it down as by Bing Crosby. He's the second person, I think, to record it.
The
thing I would say is it's just the song, right? Any smooth-voiced man who sung this song, or indeed lady.
A smooth-voiced lady.
It's a great
man.
Song. There's loads of versions of it. Mickey Bubbles did the most successful in the charts.
I think Harry Como would disagree, but yeah, all right.
No, I think Mickey Bubbles is probably higher in the charts, is what, what I mean.
The
Perry Como, probably more famous.
It was more the Billboard.
Yes, yeah. But Perry Como did the first version, I believe. A month later, Bing Crosby brought it out.
Which is a dick.
It's very funny. And Bing Crosby's already
got... This is all 1951, right?
Oh, so it's before... Oh, no, it's... After White Christmas?
No.
Let's say yes. Anyway, Bing Crosby desperate to corner the market for Christmas and also hitting his family with bags of oranges.
Yeah, he doesn't leave a bruise.
He doesn't leave a bruise. Anyway, it's a callback to an obscure Family Guy joke from about 20 years ago. Fucking hell. Anyway, yeah, it's not necessarily the Bing Crosby version. It's not as good as Perry Como version. It's just a good, lovely Christmas song. And it makes me think, oh, it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas because I'm hearing this song.
Is this, I think it might be the Perry Como version I'm thinking of that has that classic kind of 50s, you get an orchestral intro, like a string section intro. And then just the vocal.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's amazing, it's warm. It smells like chestnuts and racism.
It does. And it is, you're going to spot a trend, and you already have spotted a trend with my picks for this. I've got a very specific type of Christmas song that I like, and I do not deviate from it.
As we mentioned, we'll circle back to that later on.
Yeah.
Next up is actually another one of your picks. I think it was also on my list.
Yes.
I don't think it was on our producer's list.
Well, this one
but
ties...
That's because he isn't black.
This one ties... and we are... No, wait.
No.
So this one ties into... our number one Christmas movie pick.
It's bigger than that, but yeah.
It's bigger than that, though. It's bigger than that. At number 8, we've got Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC. Christmas in Hollis. It's in Die Hard. That's how I first heard it.
It's how I think a lot of people first heard it.
Yeah. It is a great song. And I am buying time while I bring up my notes.
Okay.
It came out in 1987. It came out in a very special Christmas, which was it is a Christmas album. It's the biggest selling Christmas album in America, in fact. That was to benefit the Special Olympics. That was to benefit the Special Olympics. It's awesome. It's a great song. It's got a very funny music video, which is very, very low rent, which has Santa's sleigh being pulled by a dog. So in 1987, it won the best video of the year from Rolling Stone magazine, beating out Bad, directed by Martin Scorsese. And once again, just to reiterate, it finishes with Santa's sleigh being pulled by a dog.
Yep.
I think it's literally just like them stood in a room.
Well, it's split between them recorded in Hollis and them at the North Pole.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course it is. Yes,
It's not a good video.
No,
but
no.
Also, the fact that it beat Martin Scorsese is beautiful, awesome. Wonderful, and gives me hope for the world.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a really good song. It's a really good song. It's like some really good late 80s hip-hop, some classic Run DMC. It just happens to also be a Christmas song.
It does.
Mm. There you go.
It's basically Run DMC rapping around a theme that is The Night Before Christmas.
Yep.
You know, lyrically, it's superb. Musically... Yep. Well, it's a rap song, so it's just the same.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. That little scratch on the. Oh, yeah. It's really good.
It is, and like I say, the songs that I've chosen on this list aren't just necessarily for my favourite Christmas songs. I think this is a really good Run DMC song. It is. They're good examples of these people do.
One of two.
Yeah, indeed. Anyway, so yeah, that's Christmas in Hollis.
Right. Moving on. Our first song, I think, that actually I chose, but also was selected by our producer in the same slot, I think.
Oh, really?
And
you guys put it in the same slot?
Well, we're trying to.
I think it's one of those things.
Otherwise, we just end up with a situation where you're just stuffed full of crooners.
You really got to like warm up and stretch before that. Anyway.
Right. And it's 1987's Fairy Tale of New York.
1987 again, came out the same year as Christmas in Hollis.
It did.
Okay.
Approximately 2 days earlier.
Oh, okay.
I say approximately. Exactly 2 days
earlier.
And it is by.
Yeah.
It's by, it's by the Pogues featuring Kirsty MacColl.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Yeah.
Yes, good. It's quite loud in here. Can't
hear you.
What?
Yeah.
It is not arguably, it is provably the most listened to, most popular Christmas song in the world ever.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's okay, there was a decent pause there. We can cut around.
So the music licensing body, the PPL.
We're leaving all that in, right?
Yeah.
England got a sports goal.
They definitely put the ball through the ground.
I think it was down to the encouragement from this pub. Without it, I don't know that they made it.
So, as a song,
yes,
it's basically an Irish folk ballad.
Okay. Is it based on like an Irish folk ballad or something? Or is it just written
they
in that style?
Lyrically from a couple of different songs. But effectively it's the Pogues. The Pogues were like an Irish pub band, right?
Yeah, of course.
They say that it has a Cayley moment in the middle that you can dance to.
Otherwise, oh, yeah, of course.
It's just that kind of drunk, slow waltz that you do after you've had a couple.
And you can sing like this.
And Shane McGowan does. Shane McGowan insists that the reason they recorded it, the Pogues recorded Christmas songs, was as a result of a bet that was made between their producer at the time, one Mr. Elvis Costello.
What? Elvis Costello produced
Elvis
this
Costello,
song?
Elvis Costello, no. He bet them that they couldn't do a Christmas song.
Right, okay.
Various other people, more sensible than McGowan, but a lot less fun, one assumes, say that that wasn't it. They were, of course, just trying to be, like, relevant in the market. Like,
right, okay.
I just like the idea that, Elvis Costello and
why
McGowan
did you
just
that?
Sat down and be like, bet you can't write a Christmas
why
song.
Why did you write that song? Yeah, Elvis Costello bet me that he couldn't. That's the best ending to any story. Why'd you do that? Elvis Costello bet me I couldn't.
It has, however, of course, been subject to controversy.
Oh yeah, because it's got that word in it.
It's got a couple of words in it.
Yeah.
It's got...
I don't get that. Give it a rest.
It's annual at this point.
It is.
It's like, should we bleep it? Should we duck it?
It's just outrage machine bullshit. No one actually gives a shit. You know what I mean? So, just...
Again, McGowan actually responded to critics by saying, I was writing a character, it's an aria.
Yeah.
A duet between two people. And that character at that time...
And I think he says two horrible people.
Yeah, two horrible people. She would have used that word because she's not nice. She's desperate. She's you're not meant to like her.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so
it's not meant to be a happy song.
It's definitely
not. It's just drunk people at Christmas.
There was a fantastic moment where at one point BBC Radio 1 were playing it without the word.
BBC
Radio 2 were playing it unedited.
Right.
And BBC Radio 6 were allowed to choose which version they wanted to play.
Oh, that's nice for them. Yeah, very nice.
It is the worst.
It is. It's nonsense. I agree. Yeah. It is nonsense.
But it's also wonderful and amazing, and depending on how drunk you are, you will definitely sing along.
I like the Bill Murray version from that Bill Murray special. I'm actually not that big a fan of this song. It's just fine. And I've definitely
got... But you love New York.
I've got caught up in the moment of being pissed and singing along with this song like everybody has. But it doesn't appear on my list for a reason, is that it's not...
It wasn't done by a 50s crooner.
Yeah, but he just doesn't... I don't know why. It's just never... It's not the one I reach for. The one I reach for.
I can legitimately say that you are very much alone in that.
No, I know I am.
The
I know
most
I'm in the minority.
Christmas song in
I know
the world.
I'm in the minority. I know I am.
Mercifully, not one that we have to avoid because nobody's made a game out of it yet. That would be impossible.
Yeah, it would
I don't think you could win that.
Also, it's a game you wouldn't want to play. It is fun when you're pissed and it comes on. It is. It is. You know, it's fun.
My favourite bit, to be honest, is it's the counterpoint harmony between the two of them. Because McGowan can't sing.
No, indeed. She carries
McCall
him massively.
Can.
She carries him hugely through this.
But
that's part of the charm.
Where he
of the...
mumbles his way through, I could have been someone.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
So could I.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
But that's part of the charm, isn't it, of that kind of...
Yeah. It is.
Part of the charm of the Pogues, I think, to be honest. But yeah.
Part of the charm of the Irish. No. No.
Oh, boy.
Oh, they were still listening to us, right? Not anymore. We joke, we love you, and we're really sorry about the whole backstop thing.
In at number five...
I don't think it's our fault, personally, but...
No, but I can be sorry about something that I have no control over.
That's true, that's very true.
In at number five...
In at number five, something much more my speed.
Yeah, this has the feeling of one of your
An
picks.
An old man singing a song in a cardigan. Don't mind which old man.
Also, to be clear, it's not number five, it's number six.
Oh. Number six! Yeah! Classic
our producer
business.
Has lost the ability to count backwards.
I don't think I've read it.
Just on you, I never had that ability.
Come on.
In
croonage.
Number six is Silver Bells, specifically by Mr. Dean Martin.
D to the Martin.
Yeah, D to the Martin.
The D-man. Big D.
Big D Martino. That's what they call him. Apparently he did have a massive hog, though. Apparently he had a big old hog on him. Children
laugh. The same. I don't think I know this.
You don't know Silver Bells?
Not.
So anyway...
You're telling me the title. I can't imagine what
okay,
the song
well,
is.
When you listen to this episode, Rob's going to have edited it in over the bottom, so you'll be able to hear
you
it.
Listen? Can you hear what I hear? There you go.
Yeah. Oh, that's something. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Do you hear what I hear?
Yeah, okay. Never knew the title.
No, that's not the song.
No, but it was a different Christmas song.
Oh, right, I'm with you.
I know that song. Is that not the song?
No, it's not the song.
Oh. Right, so.
It literally goes, Silver Bells.
Yeah,
anyway,
it
first appeared in Lemon Drop Kid with Bob Hope in it. However, it's another one where a million people have covered it, and I just happen to like the Dean Martin version very much. The thing I like about it is it was written by Ray Evans. And
I love this.
It was originally written as Tinkle Bells until he got home. And
his wife
said, are you out of your mind? Don't you know what tinkle means? I do like that in the Wikipedia entry of this, it then clarifies, tinkle is slang for urination. Just to be sure that everyone's aware. So it was originally called Tinkle Bells, which is great. But it's just, look, I've got a type. It's a smooth-voiced man singing about a song. Hopefully not about putting something in somebody's drink and getting them to stay. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah, exactly. It's great. I love it. There's loads of stuff. It used to be about Pierce, yeah. And now it's not.
It was nearly about Pierce.
It was nearly about Pierce.
But they avoided it. They the 11th hour, they pinched it off
the
at the last minute.
The old 11th hour piss reprieve.
Is track 7 on Dean Martin's Christmas album.
Is it really?
It is.
I've just got like a million permutations of Rat Pack Christmas albums.
A Dean Martin Christmas.
A Dean Martin Christmas. And I do like that, because if you think about it, does that really make any sense? A
no.
Dean Martin Christmas.
No.
Say what? Lying face down on the kitchen floor, full of whiskey.
Well, we've all done that at least once.
Yeah, let's be real.
The only thing I would add is it's one of the songs that's playing in to jump back to movies.
Mm.
We didn't talk about the Polar Express because I'm the only one that likes it.
I like it, but only because it's super fucking creepy.
It's super fucking creepy.
The uncanny
creepy.
Valley of it all is really yeah. very special.
But as part of their arrival in the North Pole, where they're wandering around this
yeah.
weird red blick.
Oh, he literally gets a silver bell.
he does, but that's what the song they're following.
Yeah.
And it's the song that gets stuck on the record player. So all you
oh,
get
is, it?
Is
oh,
silver
is.
Bells,
okay. yeah, yeah.
silver bells,
oh, yeah.
silver bells.
Which
really weird.
Is really creepy, yeah.
Yeah,
that is
the
it,
entire
yeah.
film is fucking creepy.
It's
but
a great
anyway.
Movie. Talking new Christmas horror movies. So yeah, so it's one of my faves. Like I say, silken voice man, half full of bourbon. Yes, please.
At least half.
At least half.
I'm pretty sure there's a tap.
Don't know which half.
Definitely the bottom half.
I think it's the left.
You think?
Yeah, it's just the left. Anyway.
It's not a layering anyway. Situation like an Irish coffee.
And as with all of these things, Mickey Bubbles had a successful version as well.
Well, Mickey Bubbles basically is the reincarnation of
be very,
all of these people.
Yeah, no. Can I ask a real question?
Yes.
Has Mickey Bubbles ever written a song, or does he just do covers? Because I don't think I've ever heard a song that it's not, I prefer the Sinatra version, I prefer the Dean Martin version, I prefer the Bing Crosby version. Are there original Mickey Bubbles songs?
I mean, you could ask the same question about Frank Sinatra.
You definitely could. You definitely could.
I think
although,
he probably
has... Although, to be fair,
quite
a lot of the songs that we know is well, written for him. But anyway, yes.
Yes,
but anyway.
Written for him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
By other
okay,
people.
Okay, but I mean, are there any
and
original...
let's face it, if he hadn't taken them, they would have hocked it onto the next guy
yeah,
the
no,
road.
They definitely... Mel
possibly be mine.
Mel Tormé would have done it. But, okay, so are
I'm
there songs
sure
written
has...
for
yes.
Michael Bublé?
He has songs that are... His is the first voice... to record
yes.
that song.
Right, okay.
However,
okay.
there are not very many of them because no. that's not what Mickey Bubbles does.
No, indeed. And nor should he. Fair enough. I once read the funniest thing I ever read about Michael Bublé is he was described in an article that I read about him as being like a dog with two cocks. Because apparently he just fucks absolutely everyone he can. And to be fair to him, he's fucking Mickey Bubbles. And so can you, apparently.
So we slide into the bottom five.
We slide into the bottom.
Slide very, very quickly. Sliding
yeah.
to the bottom.
Yeah, indeed.
It's
indeed.
Where the bourbon lives, if you're Dean Martin. It's another one of mine, and...
I don't think I've ever heard this song. Is this a song that I'd go, oh, right, I've definitely heard that before
well,
if I heard
it? Well,
it's
from A Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Oh, then I've yeah. definitely heard it then,
yes.
yeah. Okay, yeah.
It's 1992, and it is, there are many songs.
Yeah.
And I'm always torn, because technically the best song in that film is There Goes Mr. Humbug.
Sure.
However, it's not very... Not very cheerful.
Yeah,
because
sure.
it's literally character assassination by puppets.
Yeah, indeed. The worst type of assassination.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah? I wasn't being facetious.
At one point, he's mocked by little Muppet mice from the wall.
Yeah,
it's,
he
like,
is, yeah.
it's the worst.
I was just imagining, like, a Muppet shooting a man.
Nothing. We hear nothing.
Kind
take
of
the cans
word you're
off.
Saying, dude. I literally just... I couldn't agree more. What a beautiful sentiment at this, the most festive time of year.
I've said... I was just imagining a Muppet with a sniper rifle assassinating a man.
Nice.
It was a comedic...
No, that's actual Muppet assassination.
Yeah, exactly. But it'd be adorable, wouldn't it?
They'd never suspect him either. It was Lee Harvey Oswald. No, it wasn't. It was that puppet over there.
It's
totally ridiculous.
It's
Lee
Grover, because he's got the... Grover's a creepy motherfucker.
It is true.
If anybody's going postal,
yeah.
it's Grover.
If anyone's getting cancelled, it's Grover, definitely. His Twitter feed is near the knuckle. His grove tooth feed is up to the knuckle. Anyway, moving on. So, It Feels Like Christmas.
It is sung by the Ghost of Christmas Present.
Oh, yes.
Who is the big giant one.
The one that I said I liked earlier and then can't remember the song he sang.
His voice actor.
Yes.
So obviously being a Muppet, especially being a big Muppet,
yeah.
You probably have like half a dozen people involved in making
you
be.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
His voice actor is Jerry Nelson, a long-time collaborator with the Muppets.
The Henson,
with Henson
clan. Yep.
And Oz.
Yep.
Most famously, you'll know him as Count Von Count.
Okay. Yes, nice. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
There are, as I say, loads of songs in this movie. Some of them are bad. Some of them are right. This one is the most wholesome fucking thing in the world.
Right, okay.
And I'm just going to read
you,
like, one stanza from the lyrics.
Okay. If I start crying, Rob, it's on you.
No, just listen. It's in the singing of the street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true wherever you find love. It feels like Christmas.
That is beautiful.
And that's me, a big cry mess, because I had too much mulled fucking gin, and the Muppets have done it again.
Your wife rolls her eyes and puts her arm around you.
Yeah. So there we go, that's my number five.
Very nice. I felt like you were number one, Rob, to be honest.
There are better songs,
but
it touches me in a way that only a Muppet should be allowed to.
Many jokes I want to make, but I just can't. They'll be so out of order. So that brings us to, I mean, honestly.
Now, this is where you realise that the whole, we're going to take our individual top tens, I'm just going to pick from the lists, doesn't result in a hierarchical quality of songs.
Yeah. This is not the ultimate top ten.
This is number four, this has beaten Dean Martin.
I think if there's anything...
It's beaten the Pogues.
If we can say anything about this episode, we have made a top ten. There's no the or anything. There's no definitive.
We have made ten.
We have made ten.
So this one I'm going to hand over to our producer.
Yep.
Because prior to this morning, I hadn't even heard this fucking song.
I hadn't even heard of it until I sat down and looked at this list when I sat down to record the podcast. So
in at number four...
Sell it to me, baby.
So.
Come on. Yeah, man.
The song is I Would Like an Alien for Christmas.
It's not I Would Like.
I Would Like? Hello,
excuse me.
Mommy, I would like an alien for Christmas. Right.
Look, I'm struggling to find my notes here, of which there are none. So the band is Fountains of Wayne.
Famous for
a song called Stacey's Mum.
Who did apparently have it going on.
I was just about to say the same thing.
I was a fan of this band before that song.
Ah,
did you like them before they weren't cool?
You liked them before they released one of the worst songs I've ever heard. Anyway, no, sorry, go on. Let's not mock him, come on.
Radiation Vibe is a classic. Anyway, so...
Radiation Vibe?
Yeah. But that's not the Christmas song I'm talking about.
No, that's
what
Easter.
What is the Christmas song you're talking about?
I Want an Alien for Christmas.
Well, you can't have one.
Because it has the word Christmas in the title. And I did this at 1 o'clock last night. And I won't lie to you, I heard Christmas. I went through all of the other stuff that you'd posted.
Yeah.
And I'm not overly a fan of that
quality
kind of stuff.
Songs.
All of the stuff that Robert posted.
Half of them were by Frank Sinatra.
Oh, yeah, look. I think we can safely say Sinatra still.
I then went down the track of maybe I can find a punk cover of a Christmas song.
Sure, okay, yep.
Listen to a couple. Yep. They were all terrible.
Yep.
I wouldn't be able to talk about them. Apparently, I thought I could talk about this. I can't. Well done, Mike. Well done.
Why am I? How is it my fault? Yeah, well done, Mike. I held some magical power.
Only thing I can tell you about this song. There are two things. One,
it came out.
It was released in 1997.
Right.
Correct.
Two,
famously
it was released
music.
As an off-album single. It was then re-released on the album Out of State Plates.
Yes.
That's it.
So what is it literally about? He wants an alien for Christmas?
Yeah.
Does he want to find it?
If you listen to the song that's playing underneath, you'll be able to get
it. Yeah, listen back to the episode, of course.
Look, the reason that I put this in is because a friend of ours from years back, Tim Trassel, put me onto this band, and I always found it funny that there was a Christmas song on a non-Christmas
album. Has it got like sleigh bells and stuff in? So it's like a straight pop punk song that happens to have the word Christmas in it. Okay, no, that's fine.
There we go.
you like it,
but if other people listening to this podcast get to listen to this and then go, I'm now aware of another song by Fountains of Wayne, yeah, isn't Stacey's Mum. I've done my job. Mate.
I like to think that someone's going to be down a pub one day and I'm going to say, look at my new tattoo. And I'll say, what's that? And I'll say, oh, it's the Fountains of Wayne tattoo. Oh, how did you get into them? I listened to a Christmas-themed podcast and one of the people on it mentioned it and I got super into Fountains of Wayne afterwards. Are they still about?
Sadly, the lead singer died of COVID last year.
What, serious?
Yes.
We did cover this in a previous podcast.
Did we?
Yes.
So they broke
up. What podcast did we talk about Fountains of Wayne on before?
It was one of the rare Zoom live pod... It was a live cast.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But anyway, well, so the band broke up a while back. They reformed for like a one-off gig.
Right.
So after his passing.
Right, there you go. And how is Stacey's mum?
She's still got it going on.
Good for her. Keeping it tight. Anyway. I love it when we do this podcast and it just goes absolutely to shit for 10 minutes. I love it. Super off the rails. It's brilliant. So there we go.
Yeah.
I mean, out of the various songs I put on my list, that was the one that was, oh, as long as they don't pick this and I don't have to talk
yeah,
about it.
I'm looking at the other songs and yeah, it does feel a little bit like you were trapped here by the maker of the selected list.
Well, what was your number?
That'll be pretty fucking funny.
What was your number four, five? What are we at? Four? Five?
Run, Run, Rudolph by Chuck Berry.
Yeah, no, it's boring. What was mine?
Anyway, yours was Keeping the Dream Alive by Freiheit.
Yeah, so that's German synthpop. I think, to be honest, we would probably have had a lull at this point in the recording, regardless
fair.
Of which way we
that's,
went.
That's very fair.
It's
very
like
fair.
The snooze after the Christmas meal.
But now...
You've got the leftovers out.
We have. We've set them on fire.
Okay.
Is that not what you do at Christmas? You brandy the super flames?
Someone's put Die Hard on the TV.
Yep, okay.
It's probably Mike.
We've doused Fountains of Wayne in brandy and set them ablaze.
And just push them out of the front door. Bye-bye. No, we're moving on to...
Numero three. Trio.
Tres Christmas.
No, numero tres.
Also, can I just say that I'm very glad that nobody put Feliz Navidad down.
I very nearly did, because
so did
Sammy
I.
Davis Jr. does a version.
Love it.
And it is very special.
There are a lot of weird...
You wouldn't think that a man who suffered, struggled with civil rights for so long would be able to release a racist Christmas song. But God bless Sammy, he managed it. And it's the kids that are in the song that are being racist. That's my favourite bit about that song.
Anyway...
It's loads of kids doing Japanese accents. It's very special.
Wow.
So some American children doing like a real bad impression of a Japanese person singing songs. It's very, and they do all different nationalities as well. They don't just keep it to Asia. Everyone gets it.
So I'm glad you didn't pick that.
No, indeed.
So, number three. And this again was on both our producer's list and mine.
Yes. Yeah.
I think our producer had it a lot higher in the list than I did.
I didn't have this song because it makes me want to kill somebody. I've had enough retail jobs that I never need to hear this song ever again.
No, you definitely had your fill.
I worked in Virgin Megastore for 3 years and... No.
Was it still a Virgin when you left?
It was, actually. Oh,
just
I see. I see what you said. I see what you said.
Yeah, so 1973, an on-album single for Slade... Merry Xmas, everybody.
Is it Merry Xmas?
It is.
It is officially Merry Xmas, okay.
Because Slade famously
they love
can't
brevity.
Spell.
They love brevity.
Or choose not to spell, I don't know.
Is Slade the one with Noddy Holder in it?
Yeah.
There you go.
So
that says it all.
1973, Slade were at the height of their powers. No, seriously, they were the most listened to band in the UK in 1973.
Were they really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Like crazy famous.
Right.
Yeah, Mike, do your homework.
Yeah, do your Slade homework.
Two hits.
Yeah.
Come On, Feel the Noise.
Oh, yeah.
And something to do with squeezing, I don't remember. And...
Come On, Feel the Noise is about complaining to their neighbour Philip about how loud he's got his music. Come on, Phil! The noise! I'll just get my coat.
Yeah, all right. Well, better than the orgasm joke, the direction that could have gone
no,
in.
No, I'm saving that for Come On, Eileen.
Yeah. It was, I think it's actually one of the first, no, sorry, Wham technically made the number one. This is right. A Christmas number one.
Is it really?
In 1973, it just went straight in at number one.
Yeah.
Because weirdly, in 1973, I'm guessing the world was a grim place and there was nothing better going
pretty
on
much,
than Slade.
Yeah. 1973 England. That's a sad time.
I do love, again, the origin story. This stayed famously a Birmingham-based, like...
Yeah. Very famously, yeah.
Pseudo... Not punk, but not rock, but whatever they are. Kind of
pseudo-proggy, glammy stuff. Yeah. I say more glam than anything, but yeah.
And they were talking about doing a Christmas song, and Noddy basically went to the pub and just got shit-faced and then came home and wrote it at his mum's flat in Walsall.
Perfect.
And did it in one night.
Nice.
They then, because weirdly... Slade were so big that they were getting flown around the world.
Right.
So they got flown out to New York.
Right.
Where they needed to record, they wanted to record this, and they were trying to record it at a record plant studio.
Right, yes, yeah.
Which is in New York, LA, what have you, super famous. And they wanted to use the top floor because it's this big open space.
Right.
But the producers were saying that it's like, you can't record here, and nobody's doing that sound.
Right.
Nothing's open and echoey. Everything's like proper dialed in, super tight.
Yeah.
So they were like, well, I don't know what to do. This is the room we've got. What do we do? It's like, why don't we just go and record in the hallway?
Really? Okay. Like,
yeah, but the hallway's a hallway. There's people using it. It's like, it'll be fine. So literally, this song was recorded in the hallway of Record Plant in June. Whilst they're singing about Christmas.
Yeah, in California.
In New York.
Oh, New York, sorry.
Whilst businessmen were just like wandering out of offices. What the fuck is going
on? What is all that racket? Come on, Phil, the noise, they said.
Oh,
that would have been a better time to tell that joke.
It would have been,
Yeah, it would have been. But yeah, so I didn't know Slade was that massive.
Very briefly, apparently. But ginormous.
Right.
It is everywhere for a period, to the point that,
fucking is.
Leaving aside Whamageddon, which is a Johnny Come Lately, we have played the same game for the best part of over a decade, which is avoiding Slade between the 1st and the 24th of December.
The advent of phones with headphones are plugged in, real game changer for
that
game,
was quite
I would assume.
Noise cancelling really made this quite straightforward, but even then.
You get put on hold, though. You're on the phone to someone, you get put on hold, you could get fucked.
Yep. It's tricky.
Yeah, I bet.
But also, it's a good exercise in avoiding a song that isn't very good.
No. I don't like this song.
It has...
I think I prefer Wizard to this song.
Yeah.
That must have been about the same time, right?
It was, yes. The only problem I have with the Wizard is the awkward kids. Again.
Yeah, the awkward kids of it all, fair. Yeah, fair.
But you're not too sure. It's like, well, I'm pretty sure that he's not. But also, no, don't put children next to that kind of rock star. That's
my favourite use of children in a song is when Richard Cheese covers Beat It by Michael Jackson. And then halfway through, he just says, come on, children. And he just gets a children's choir to sing the rest of the Michael Jackson song.
Yeah.
That's some funny shit.
It's funny, but even then, if you saw him do it live...
Oh, no, that'd be terrible.
Probably
be
not.
Terrible.
So...
Yeah.
Number two, we're nearly there.
Number two. Number two.
Now, this is interesting because you had a different version of this song.
I did.
At your number 10, I think.
Yes.
Not sure why. The version you chose is terrible. This is
like
clearly a much better version.
I like that version.
All right.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's all the reason I need to give, dammit.
Okay.
Personal choice. Diplomatic immunity. I don't know.
Sure. It's the 1968 recording by Otis Redding of Merry Christmas, Baby.
This is a massive banger.
It is.
It slaps.
It's also B-side to White Christmas by Otis Redding.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not that he wrote it, obviously. He didn't write it.
No,
he just
version.
Did a version.
Yeah. I think everyone's sung White Christmas at this point.
Weirdly, everybody's sung White Christmas. A bunch of people have sung Merry Christmas Baby, including James Brown,
yes,
who's your
who was
your
my
pick.
Number 10, yeah.
It was originally recorded by Johnny Moore's Three Blazers.
Nice.
Ooh, we're going back a bit, because that was in 1947.
Wow. 1947?
The original of the song is from 1947,
wow,
yes.
Wow, okay, fucking hell.
But no, 1968, Otis Redding gets to come into my house and sing Christmas songs to me. And because he's Otis Redding, he can do that, and indeed anything else he wants.
Yeah, indeed. Do a two-hour live set where he nearly collapses halfway through and stuff.
Yeah.
If you ever watch a live Otis Redding concert, that man committed. He, like, he looks like he's going to die by about halfway through.
And anyway, it's lovely.
So are we your number one? This can't make it in. Are we your number one now? Are we still doing Otis Redding?
Well, we're kind of done with Otis Redding. There's nothing else to say.
Go.
Other than it's a really, really nice Christmas song.
It's a lovely song.
Sung by...
A Merry Christmas Baby is in so many movies as well.
Yeah.
So many movies.
I wish I made a list of how many people have covered it. I didn't.
I think it's in National Lampoon's.
But I did make a list of how many people have covered our number one. I say our number one. It's very much all you.
It's the best Christmas song.
It's up there.
It is. It's... So, number one is The Christmas Waltz, sung by Frank Sinatra.
Composed for and
composed
sung
for
by.
Frank Sinatra, indeed. Yes, absolutely. Specifically the first Nelson Riddle arrangement from A Jolly Christmas from Frank Sinatra.
Recorded in 1957?
1957, yes, indeed. It was a B-side to when he released his version of White Christmas. It's not just my favourite Christmas song. It might be my favourite example of how fucking good singing Frank Sinatra is. His voice is so rich and warm, and it just perfectly fits the timbre, the tone,
that's right,
the pace of this song. It is truly amazing. I really, honestly, it's not just my favourite Christmas song, it's one of my favourite Frank Sinatra songs, which is really fucking saying something, because my favourite Frank Sinatra song is almost everything he ever sang. So yeah, I cannot rate it high enough. It is, it's awesome. It's been covered by a million gajillion people. Did you count from the list?
45.
Nice. I saw the big old list and was like, I'll just say loads.
Yeah.
I didn't count. 45.
45 separate covers.
It's amazing.
I mean,
amazing.
Presumably other people might have touched it, but no, 45 named covers.
Yeah. Is this a song that you two like or familiar with? Or
if I know the song, I don't know the title.
Yeah, it's one of those songs where he never says Christmas Waltz in it, right?
So hum me or sing me a tiny bit that I know.
It starts with Frosted Window Panes.
Definitely don't know this.
It is a true waltz. It really is a true waltz. You could definitely get up and waltz to it. I have done. I drink too much, and it's Frank Sinatra and it's Christmas.
Who are you waltzing with?
On my own.
Oh, right.
Or
so
with a
waltzing
mannequin that I'm imagining is someone else, like in that movie Santa Sagre.
Nice. It was recorded basically, it was written on the basis of Frank wanted a Christmas song.
Yeah, in June or something ridiculous.
Meanwhile, the world of Christmas songwriting was up against Irving Berlin.
Yeah.
I was like, no, man, the White Christmas, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
You cannot beat White Christmas.
That's exactly it.
So they decided, basically, to... they asked around the room, the two guys who wrote it, whose name I can't remember, you should know this. Why do you not know this?
Sorry, I'm wincing from drinking this beer, which is absolutely fucking terrible. Oh, God. It's like it's got pepper in it or something.
Well, at least you've only got another most of a pint to get through. No, and they asked, has anybody ever done a Christmas waltz?
Yeah.
I said, well, no.
Anyway, well, I happen to have written a waltz.
Well,
can we write some lyrics to it?
Yeah, just put some lyrics on this.
Just give it and then give it to Nelson and let him arrange it with an orchestra and bosh.
Done.
My favourite Christmas song of all time. I love it.
There are three specific arrangements.
This being
the first one.
Yeah.
The second one was done in 1957.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one was done in 1968.
Yes. All for different Frank Sinatra Christmas albums, I think.
Yep.
Why change it up? If it ain't broke, just slightly tweak it and knock it out again because it'll sell. And yeah, I love it. I love it.
This was always the sticking point, because you and I will go round and round on this, that I maintain that Frank Sinatra has done many Christmas albums. None of them are actually very good as a whole.
Oh, no. The best
they all
thing
have
to,
highlights.
The best thing to do is get a Frank Sinatra compilation Christmas album, yeah, and that's got all the best ones on it.
But also they have some real, real low bar numbers.
There are some stinkers. This was close for me, because I nearly chose Jingle Bells as my number one.
I tried to.
The Frank Sinatra Jingle Bells. I think it was on my list. It was number 8, actually. But I do love that, too, because it's so fucking weird. So fucking weird. He's trying to be really jazzy with it. And it is, and it is weird.
Interestingly, everybody's favourite Ghost of Christmas Present, Michael Bublé, also does a very weird Jingle Bells.
Does he really?
It was on my list.
He's like, Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, like that, right?
Yeah, that's why it's weird.
That's why it's weird.
It's like being in the room with him.
Yeah, it's like he's here, having sex with someone, anyone.
If you get the opportunity, everyone, then give it a listen. It's with the Papini sisters.
Is that the one where he raps?
Yeah.
Sorry, the idea of that made me go into fits of giggles.
So, is it worth just some honourable mentions that haven't made the list?
Oh, I think that's probably the next section, so we definitely should, yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Smooth.
That seems logical.
Absolutely.
So, what do you feel should have been on
there? You've
clearly
got something on your mind.
I mean, there's at least six.
Well, we've already spoken about Wizard, which I put as my number one. Because if given the choice between Slade and the Wizard one, I like the Wizard song
Here
more.
Here is Merry Christmas.
No.
I wish it could be Christmas every day.
Here it is, Merry Christmas. It's Slade, isn't it?
It's just because it's got that like.
It's almost like they're interchangeable.
The chorus. It's just. I think it's a better song.
Okay.
Maybe because it wasn't recorded in the hallway.
Sure.
But yeah, the video's a bit weird.
He's like all like glittery and stuff.
The video is basically a Top of the Pops recording, right?
I think so. Yeah.
The other one that probably surprised you, I had at number 9, is Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas. It's it's an amazing song, and you
disagree.
Can't escape it.
Strong disagree.
I'm not saying it's a good song.
You literally just said it was a good song, didn't you?
No, I said it's an amazing
song. Oh, right, okay. I don't like this song.
I'm left in amazement. In the same way that you could be amazed by a horrific car crash.
I just think if you can do a song where literally you play the opening couple of bars and everyone in the same bar will sing along.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You've written a good song.
I think you could say it's iconic.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But I certainly don't like it. But again, I think that's... I've worked in too many shops when I was a teenager to... Yeah.
Oh, no, it is...
And it must
I would say it is now
money every year.
More overplayed than anything else.
Yeah.
Possibly even more than Slade.
And it is now. Slade's slipping down a slope of 70s decline.
Yeah.
The people who care for Slade are literally dying out. Mariah, on the other hand.
Yeah.
Nice.
She only gets stronger with each soul she possesses.
And each Christmas she ventures forth from her lair.
The story of Christmas Mariah. Lovely.
So which 1950s white crooner that we not talk about for you?
Jingle Bells for Frank Sinatra.
We talked about Frank Sinatra.
Obviously. Look, Christmas song by Frank Sinatra.
We talked about Frank Sinatra. Which crooner did we not mention?
Actually, we talked about Sammy Davis Jr. with Feliz Navidad.
Briefly.
Perry Como, Mel Torme, they all just did the same songs, really, so you're good, whatevs.
Okay. Yeah, so you're covered?
Yeah, we're covered.
All right.
How about you, Rob?
I've got a couple, one of them being my German friend's Freiheit.
Is that a song that I'd know if I heard it?
Keeping the Dream Alive. If you heard it, you'd know it.
Right.
It's weirdly, it's like Christmas movies that aren't about Christmas. It's not a Christmas song.
Okay.
It just happened to come out at Christmas.
Like Tainted Love.
Really?
That was a Christmas number one.
What, rando Christmas number one? Love it. Yeah. But
so when you listen to an album of a compilation of Christmas number ones and then just boop, boop, comes on, it is very weird.
Famously, so is Killing in the Name.
It's not Tainted Love, it's Power of Love.
Oh, the power of love.
That one. Anyway, sorry.
Sure.
Distracted you, apologies.
No, it's fine. They're a German band, it's quite lovely.
Okay.
Give it a listen if you haven't already.
No,
it's
on
a certain time. Mm-hmm. And my ultimate number one, which I'm going to name check, because it's absolute proper, like, dad bod cynical Christmas bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
Is I Believe in Father Christmas by Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
ELP.
That's after they'd lost the other one.
Bublé. Emerson, Lake, Palmer and Bublé. Everyone knows that. He broke away and started his own. Emerson, Lake, Palmer and Noddy.
I like Emerson, Lake and Palmer because it is an utterly cynical song.
Sure.
But it's sung really well. There's some good harmonies. Yeah.
Yeah, lovely.
There's probably a metric ton of other crap.
Yeah, oh, there definitely is. Everybody's got that stupid Now That's What I Call Christmas Songs compilation that you play on repeat
well,
in your
actually,
office. Because you're allowed to play music in the office at Christmas. And just...
Are you? Not in my office.
I have
Get
been.
Out.
I have been previously.
No, actually, there are a couple of really good albums. So there's Zooey Deschanel and Gordon Love Hewitt did a... they were a duet, right, for a bit.
Oh, really? Okay.
It was called Him and Her.
Yeah. Right,
they did a Christmas album that is delightful.
Okay.
I mean, because they can both sing very well.
Yeah. It's the two of them, and she's on the ukulele, and it's super low key.
Yeah.
The Bare Naked Ladies, as has been previously mentioned.
Yeah.
They actually were the first time I ever heard Michael Bublé sing a Christmas song.
Really?
Because he features on that album and sings a song called Lament for an Elf.
Okay.
Where basically he's all like, well, you know, we're really busy, but nobody ever thinks about us. It's all about Santa.
Right. It's like a workers unite situation.
It's Canada. The same album's got Sarah McLachlan on it. So
okay, sure.
It's like Canadian Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, fair.
Which I assume is just every other day in Canada.
Seems so.
So that's the Irish and the Canadians.
Yes,
who else we got?
You got them.
Got anybody else?
I think we've been doing some like fake-ass Italian accents throughout this as well, so that's been good too.
Nice.
The only other one I want to call out that I had on my list was O Come Are You Faithful by Bad Religion. Bad Religion, who are a very prolific, long-running punk band, just decided to do a little short album of like 8 or 10 tracks of Christmas songs. And it's fucking awesome, because it's Bad Religion playing proper punk versions of traditional Christmas music. And I highly recommend it, if you like punk.
Otherwise, Christmas.
All Christmas. But if you don't like punk at all, don't listen to it.
If you don't like Christmas at all, probably don't listen to it either.
You might, if you like punk enough, you might do that.
Ooh.
Might convert you.
What, to Christmas?
Yeah, I think that's it. That's what they were trying to do, this punk band. Convert people to being born-again Christians and being super into Christmas.
And there it is. We have slipped over the cliff and are rapidly picking up speed as we roll towards the bottom of this particular snowy mountain.
So that's it for me.
Mariah's coming. Mariah's
there she
coming.
Is. There she is. I don't want to learn it. No, absolutely not.
This has been We're Drunk and We Know Things for another year. Another two Christmas specials. I'm quite impressed because we haven't had a fight.
And we didn't have to do Frozen 2.
We'll do that in the new
year. The
Frozen. Technically, Frozen, not Christmas movie. As has been stated.
Come on.
It's set in the summer. That's the whole point.
Agree to disagree.
It's like Hot Time Summer in the City.
Agree to disagree.
You can't disagree with when it's set. That's when it's set.
Agree to disagree on that too.
Northern Hemisphere. It's summer.
Agree to disagree.
But it's not in the Northern Hemisphere.
Agree to disagree.
Oh, and here comes the fight.
Quick, let's have a glass of wine each. I think Black Peter should be banned. Is it Black Peter or Black Thomas? Whatever. Let's move on.
I think apparently you're against all black people, apparently.
Just that thing in Holland. Anyway, let's move on.
So there's the Dutch, right? Dutch, Irish. Okay, we're doing well. If there's anybody that we haven't alienated in this episode, then please write in and let us know. We'll happily give you a shout out in the new year.
Engagement's engagement, baby.
Until then, have a lovely Christmas.
Yes.
Happy holidays.
And have a wonderful new year.
Number 10.
Numero 10. Dis.
Disa? Dis?
Ticondo. Nope.
Christmas. Work. It's okay, because we're back to Christmas.
We're back to Christmas. All right. All right. Hello and welcome back to We're Drunk and We Know Things, Christmas edition.
Bam, bam, bam.
Extreme Christmas edition.
Part last two time, of two.
Yeah, part two of two. The electric boogaloo. Anyway, last time we spoke about our favourite Christmas movies. We went through all of them. There were no disagreements. The fans loved it. They say, come back for more. So we are. We're coming back for more due to popular demands. We're back for more doing our number 10, nope, top 10s, musics, Christmas edition.
Yes.
Two.
Good.
Number 10, top 10.
Smooth.
Number 10, top 10s, the top 10 Christmas songs.
Do you want to do that again?
No.
I feel like you should.
All right, I'll do it again.
I'm so sorry.
This is what I sound like when I'm crying.
I'm so sorry. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Christmas and holidays, I'm not putting an edit break in, all that staying in. Because, you know, it's a good look for me. Which weirdly won Best Video of 1987 in Rolling Stone magazine.
Which means it beat what?
England just missed a try or something, I don't know. So, are we going to be able to record an episode with all of this masculine energy happening in this room?
I think we'll be all right.
All right, fine. Well, for the listener, there's rugby going on, apparently. There's always fucking rugby going on.
We've recorded in much noisier places.
Indeed. So anyway, shall I start again, or what was I doing?
Music video, dog.
Oh yeah, there's a dog. It won the best video of 1987 for Rolling Stone. There's a dog. Fucking organised sport. Honestly.